This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Take a vacation from your bills, pay off credit cards, and save thousands of dollars after a simple phone call to Golden Oak Lending. Visit goldenoaklending.com to speak to someone today.
Golden Oak Lending cured my blues.
NMLS 114937.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
I know we don't work long hours, but is it me or did this week just drag on and on and on?
It was a little bit.
Man.
Tell me about it.
Good. I'm sorry, boss. Did you have a long week?
You don't realize everything your boss does until randomly you get all of the stuff that your boss does on top of everything else you do.
There we go.
Every day.
Spoken like a true manager. Congratulations, Sam. That's
Thank you.
Great.
Thank you.
That is great.
Every once in a while I call him in the morning. I'm like, where are you? He's like, I'm already at work. Do you sit, and I want you to be honest.
Red-eyed and bushy-tailed every day.
Woo! So do you sit in boss's office just to kind of feel the power?
No, but I did use the office adjacent for some conversations that I had to have this week that I didn't want to be, you know, out and open in the newsroom.
Okay.
And I got to be honest, if I do end up taking over that office, I'm going to need some AC in there.
A little warm, was it?
It was toasty every single day.
You talking about Niven's old office?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Huh. A little toasty? Okay. Okay.
Maybe bring in a fan, a little air circulator.
Well, I feel you like know, we're airing the grievances like 4 hours early.
I thought about leaving the door open, but that kind of defeated the purpose of going into a private room, you know?
Okay.
Anyway.
Why didn't you just go into boss's office?
That felt violating.
For him or for you?
I would have put my feet up on the desk.
Turn the TV to a channel you like?
Right, right.
Okay.
Golf channel, here we come.
I have so many exciting things to share with you, and I rarely ask anyone to go online and vote for something because you see that stuff on Facebook all the time, and you're like, not doing it. I am actually going to ask you to go online and vote. Free State Brewery in Lawrence is up for the best brewery in the United States. And I will only tell you that, like, one of the competitors out of a different state is Barley's Brewhouse, and I'm not knocking Barley's. I think Barley's is fine.
There's one in Shawnee.
There's one here. Not knocking it at all.
However,
it's a chain and it ain't Free State Brewery.
See, I didn't know that Barley's Brewhouse was a chain.
Well, the one up for whatever in Ohio, there's like 16 of them or something. It is up for a USA Today Reader's Choice Award. I've already put it on my Facebook page.
Well, I can confirm that back in my day,
it is the only brewery represented in the entire state of Kansas, and I don't think I saw one for Missouri either.
I may have had a Free State brew or two back in the day.
Yeah.
Or 500.
God, their black bean quesadillas are so good.
Really? That's what you're focusing on?
Is a
black bean quesadilla?
Yes.
Are they up for best beer or best
brewery
experience?
Best brewery.
Okay.
Say that word again.
Brewery.
Brewery?
Brewery.
Here we go again. Off the rails early.
Why don't you let me have one of their fabulous wheat beers, and then I'll try to pronounce.
See, I would always go with their stouts. I always thought their stout was... What?
Brewery.
Yeah, she says it faster. Brewery.
Say it for Dana. Brewery. No. If you're going to do it for Dana, you got to slow that thing down.
Brewery.
No, that's too fast.
Let me tell you who we're up against. Forbidden Root Restaurant and Brewery in Chicago.
How is it that you're affiliated with Free State Brewery?
It's in Lawrence.
You said, here's who we're up against.
Well, yeah.
Have you ever brewed a beer at Free State Brewery?
Oh, I've thrown one or two back.
Well, I bet you have.
I think Dana thinks that she's the de facto mayor
of Lawrence.
We're Nobody up knows, against
but she believes
the
that.
Funky Buddha Brewery in Oakland Park, Florida, please. Ooh, we are up against a Kohola Brewery and Restaurant in Wailea, Hawaii.
A what?
Lakefront Brewery in Milwaukee. Ooh, that is some stiff competition there.
Is it? Because name a good beer that comes out of Milwaukee.
Lua Brewing in Des Moines.
Well, they take care of most of them, so not much gets out of Wisconsin.
Oh, Southern Prohibition Brewery in Hattiesburg, Mississippi. They got one in New York, one in Atlanta. Yeah, that's it. I'm telling you, you got to vote for Free State. We're up against a bunch of ne'er-do-wells in other cities.
Okay. From the New York Post, could we really be looking at a fairy tale ending to Super Bowl licks?
L-I-X.
Good Lord.
Which is pronounced licks.
That's what they're calling it. Go ahead.
Some have suggested, no, that's what I'm calling it. I'm the only moron who calls it licks. Some have suggested that with a win on February 9th, Star Chiefs tight end Travis Kelce could opt to get down on one knee and look up at his musician superstar girlfriend, Taylor Swift, and ask her the most important question a man asks his partner in his life. FanDuel is providing odds in Canada, projecting an 11% chance that Kelce asks Swift's hand
They're
in marriage on the
field.
Yes, they are.
And of they have course. To do it in Canada because they can't do it here legally.
I don't know if that's true.
You can go to a bookie in Vegas and bet on something like that. But in terms of online gambling, you cannot bet on something.
Which is
like
why they're
that.
Doing it only in Canada then?
Correct.
Okay. Kelce not proposing to Swift has a negative 1,500 odds, meaning there is a 93.75% chance he does not propose
of
on Super Bowl
not.
Sunday.
I'd be furious.
You would?
I don't. You know,
you don't,
I
You don't
am
like
not,
the public proposal.
I no.
Oh, you
I
wouldn't
do
be
not.
Furious because it was his day and all of a sudden now it's supposed to be somewhat your day,
no,
too?
No, not that. I just think that is such
wow, you're a snarky today.
Public, beautiful. That's a public, beautiful moment for the Chiefs. But that is such a private, intimate, life-changing moment for the two of them. That is not something they need to share with 50 billion people.
Well,
it would
feel like a stunt.
It could be life-changing or 6 months changing. There has also been speculation that an
depends on who you are,
right? There has also been speculation that an engagement is imminent, as Taylor Swift was seen wearing an infinity ring in New York City earlier this month.
That can mean anything.
An infinity ring may be a sign that an engagement is coming, although that does not necessarily mean that it will happen on the football field while celebrating a Super Bowl win.
Parks is like, I've got socks that last longer.
Okay.
He's got socks and underwear that go longer.
What's the expiration date on that milk?
Wow.
Not everything goes according to plan. Okay?
Twice. Or four times, if we're counting
the entire room.
Tandem. Anyway, vote for Free State Brewery in Lawrence.
Just bringing it right back around.
Right. Okay. No, he is not going to propose.
Where do we vote?
Public spot.
You didn't say where we
well,
vote.
Well, I've posted it on Twitter. I've posted it on my social,
Just
my KNBC social.
USA Today Best Brewery.
Oh, yes.
USA Today Best Brewery.
The other two, by the way, are in Louisiana and Richmond, Virginia. That rounds up the top 10. So they're already in the top 10 or 12 or whatever. So please
brewery.
Go vote.
Too fast.
No, it's all right.
Brewery.
It's fine. It's fine. Seriously.
We do have the latest on a serious note coming up in just a moment regarding the plane crash in Washington, D.C.
Did you watch coverage 24/7 from the time you got home to this morning?
Last night? No.
Yeah.
No. So I did watch a lot earlier today, but Sarah came over and we had Pancake Friday, so I turned the news off when she comes over. She doesn't need to hear that stuff. But I did watch a lot before she got there at 9. No, last night, so you know, we're a Wheel of Fortune house, and we watch Wheel of Fortune, and I know that you recommended this to me years ago. I finally got around to it. We have started the Netflix series, and it's two seasons, 20 episodes. I didn't realize how much I was going to invest in this now.
Oh, God, it's good.
I thought it was going to be like 6-8 episodes. We're in, we're out, no problem, we're good. It's 20 episodes, Your Honor.
With Bryan Cranston, I believe multiple awards were handed out for that two seasons.
He's a judge, that's all I'm going to say.
No, what I have said to you for years is this.
Why do you do this to me?
How far would you go to protect your child if your child got in trouble? That's all
big
the
trouble.
Series is about.
Big trouble.
Accidentally something happens, then how far would you go to protect that child? That's the entire basis of the series. And Bryan Cranston plays a judge, which makes it even more compelling.
Are you hopping on the Run, Do Not Walk train?
Oh, I am.
This
without doubt.
Sprint, okay. Do Not Walk.
So we have been moderating ourselves this week. We started it on Tuesday night. We watch, because we go to bed early. She gets up really early to go to work.
It's after the bonus round.
It is, Dana. It is after the...
I mean, you got to see how it ends up.
They watch the bonus round of Wheel of Fortune, and then it's right into Your Honor.
Do they get the $40,000 or the car?
You're not going to find out tomorrow.
I don't know. I don't know if we're going to have enough time. So, yes, we watched the bonus round, and then we have limited ourselves to one episode a night because she has to go to bed early and get up early. Tonight is Friday night. All bets are off.
Two episodes, baby.
Maybe go two or three. I don't know.
Wow, you may stay up late tonight.
Yes.
Oh, Dana, my. I do have to say, I took your advice, and I started season 2 of Lioness.
It's so good.
You're not going to like my reaction.
It is better than season 1.
It does not hold a candle to season 1.
Yes, it does. And here's you and I will duel this out later because we're going to go back and start season 1 next week. I've already seen it, but okay. MP has not. We don't have time tonight. We're going country dancing.
What?
Are we
going
stepping?
Dancing. Yes!
Wow.
I'm so excited.
Are you going to line dance?
No, I don't know how to do that. I'm not interested in line dancing. But
two-stepping. Yeah. Learn how to two-step.
I already know how to do that, but we're going to go do that.
Where are you going to do it?
I don't know yet. We're working on a plan as we speak.
Little guitars and Cadillacs action.
I was going to say. It's the first time I've ever been to a country bar, but, you know, probably since Cadillac Ranch in Lawrence, speaking of Lawrence, 25 years ago.
Wow, I totally forgot about that place.
Oh, yeah.
Over
you
on
probably
6th.
Don't even have cowboy boots.
I have fashion boots.
Let me see your footwear, please.
I have fashion boots.
Those are red.
Well, I got to represent on Friday.
High tops.
I know it's not red. Did it not feel weird, by the way, today? Because you're thinking it's Red Friday, but it's sort of not. I thought, you know what? I'm going to wear some red boots.
You know, Cheyenne from downstairs is going country dancing tonight as well.
Oh, I should ask her where she's going. Are there a bunch of places to do that? And I'm being absolutely serious because I educate me. I don't know.
The answer is yes.
Okay. Good
I wouldn't say a bunch. It's not like there's one on every corner, but there's more than none.
Okay.
Like two.
Thank you, Sam.
I'd say there's about 6.
It's within more than none.
Decent driving distance.
What was the big one back in the day?
Whiskey Tango.
Whiskey Tango. Yep. So I don't know what that's where she's going is the old Whiskey Tango.
It's now Moe Country.
Moe Country. Thank you.
And where is this located?
Out off I-70 past Green Valley.
Okay.
Moe Country.
Oh. Now that's legit.
That is legit. We might have to go there because
you might need to burn a skull ring in your back pocket.
The top story in our stack today
to
is from Green Valley.
Really?
Yes, it is. Huh. I'm going to give you a hint.
Okay.
Green Valley, Taco Bell.
Diarrhea?
Joe Walsh.
Oh.
Those are your hints, people. Green Valley, Taco Bell, Joe Walsh.
Festivus Friday comes your way right after the 5 o'clock news. The airing of the grievances. It is brought to you by Q39. Get your Q fix today at Q39KC.com. The new boss.
Yes, please.
Kill the show.
I love this song.
Are you trying to kill the show?
This song is hilarious. You strut for me. I'll strut for you.
Okay.
You got to strut so hard with those strutting thighs. Dude. I mean, what do you mean?
If you watch that video, by the way, you will see buns. You will
Excuse
see
me?
Buns and chaps.
He is wearing chaps and no pants.
It is hilarious.
Wow. We are starting to get some of the names, sadly, of the people who were killed, at least, you know, regionally, on that flight from Wichita to Washington, D.C. the other night.
We mentioned the farmers at the end of the program yesterday. Right. So sad.
Another one is a student from a university near Dayton, Ohio, who is among the 67 victims killed in the plane crash at an airport near Washington, D.C., Reagan National. Who wrote this? Cedarville University's director of public relations said in a press release that student Grace Maxwell, who was studying mechanical engineering with a minor in biomedical engineering, she was returning to college from her home in Wichita.
You know, you read the stories of the last-minute decisions to either board or not board. There was a story about one of the young women who switched flights to get home early to see her boyfriend. So much of it is just so devastating, Scott.
Another is a former Miss Kansas contestant.
And Harvard graduate.
Who is an attorney with the Civil Rights Corps. She grew up in Wichita. Kaya Duggins. She was in the Miss Kansas pageant in 2015.
And then you saw all of the hunters, Scott. An entire group of hunters that were part of, Sam, I don't know if it was a hunting club, but a group of friends that always go hunting together were all coming back. And a couple of the men in that group chose to drive home instead of fly. You've seen the photo with all of them, and they're standing in front of, and I don't know if it's pheasants or ducks. Yeah,
there were like eight of them in the picture or nine of them in the picture, and four of them were on the flight, if I'm not mistaken.
It's so sad. And then this, we are hearing that just 24 hours before this awful crash, there was another passenger plane forced to abort landing at the same airport because of a helicopter in its path. And you know that FlightAware tracks flight patterns? Mm-hmm. It shows it right there. It was flight 4514, bound for the same airport. Upon its first approach, about 8 o'clock the night before, the airplane can be seen on radar diverting from its scheduled course and then turning west, circling, and landing during a second attempt. The crew initiated a go-around at Ronald Reagan Washington National in response to an onboard alert that a military helicopter was nearby.
And I'm assuming that flight happened during the day. We talked to Jesse yesterday about how hard it is to see things spatially in the air when you're flying over a city.
This was 8 p.m.,
at
Sam.
Night.
8 p.m.
8 p.m.
This was 8 p.m.
So Middays talked to an expert who's also a pilot and a lawyer, and they said that one of the major concerns was which pilot was flying the aircraft. There's obviously two pilots in the cockpit of every single commercial plane. One is in charge of communications and keeping an eye out for stuff, other objects. One is in charge of flying the plane. And so based on the trajectory of the way this collision happened, if the pilot seated on the right side of the cockpit was the one flying the plane for the landing, there's a solid chance, no matter how hard he was looking,
they didn't see.
The pilot on the left side of the cockpit would not have been able to see it.
But I want to be clear not to be blaming the pilots or co-pilots of the airliner in any way. Because from what we are hearing, that
helicopter was
in the wrong lane at the wrong altitude.
Correct.
And this happened 2 days in a row. The only difference being at 8 p.m. the night before, that pilot was able to somehow head that off and go around and re-land. And they've grounded the choppers today,
yes,
Scott?
Indefinitely.
By good.
The way, indefinitely.
Well, it's the specific flight patterns around the approach angles for the runways.
But answer me this.
Why was it allowed in the first place?
Maybe we need to, because I know we have a large retired military community in the audience, and maybe they know much better than the three of us. What in the name of Sam Hill is any military helicopter or any helicopter at all doing even remotely close to a major American airport?
For a training exercise. And look, do they need to train? Yes. Do they need to train in or out of the lanes of one of the busiest airports in the world at night?
No.
I think most Americans who have nothing to do with aviation are sitting back going, why was this even allowed to happen? And now that we are seeing that, again, the night before, there was a near miss. That's the one we know about just today, by the way. How many of these other things are out there? And then I would also ask from a military standpoint, Scott, who is in charge or would have been in charge of saying, we're not going to do this anymore. Like, the military wants to run these routes. The FAA would have to say, we've always done it, so yay or nay.
So as I understand it, when it comes to military training, they go to the FAA and says and say, we want to fly X, Y, and Z aircraft in this airspace. And the FAA, as we talked yesterday, has lanes in the sky for different aerial vehicles. And they approved at some point years ago that these helicopters could fly at a specific altitude along this river with basically no
restriction. Do you remember how many years ago, Sam? Because
I don't.
You know where I'm going with this. We talked to Commander Reed about this yesterday. Airports have changed in the last 20 years, 10 mm-hmm. years. Mm-hmm. Like, so maybe when this agreement first made sense, we did not have the same level of traffic pattern that we are seeing today.
Clearly
something that
not.
Maybe worked back then when they agreed to this, to the common man looking yeah. at this, we're all going, why the hell was this allowed to continue?
Well, there's a story in the Stag, and let me see. I'll try to find it during the bottom of the hour break.
Our pilots are calling in. Keep calling in if you're a pilot. You don't have to use, you know, where you worked. It just explained to us why this was allowed to even be something that they were drilling.
Because I think, if I'm not mistaken, I heard on the news yesterday that Reagan National was originally designed for like 10 million or 15 million passengers a year. Okay? Mm-hmm. It now gets 25 million.
Sure.
Yes, it has outkicked its coverage.
Yes. It is way too big. And I made the argument with Commander Reed yesterday, why not rebuild Reagan National kind of like where KCI is to Kansas City, way out?
But that's not going to happen. Because the lawmakers want to fly in, fly out, then fly in, get off the plane, and go to
point.
Capitol Hill.
Keep Reagan National where it is for foreign dignitaries, lawmakers, etc., and build a third airport out in the country.
But would you not have to even do that if you remove the threat of the choppers at night that are not in their lane?
Yeah, step one.
Is get the
stop
get the,
allowing choppers
the congestion.
To fly.
Let's
in
call
the
it.
Way.
Let's call it congestion.
The problem is you have a joint base right next door to Reagan National, just to the east. Now, if the argument is they don't get to go anywhere west of their joint base, fine. Let's have that discussion. 913-586-7798. 913-586-7798. Here on Dana and Parks.
Hey. I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code SHAVE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code SHAVE. Enjoy.
Odyssey celebrates St. Patrick's Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
At least 41 bodies from the collision have been recovered from the Potomac. I saw on CNN just before airtime, Scott, that there is some level of difficulty. And I don't want to say they didn't see this coming yesterday, but because it was in waist deep water or 8 feet of water where that fuselage went down, there was an initial thought that maybe the recovery would be more swift than what we are seeing. And can you help explain why that is not the case?
So I was watching CNN this morning, and they had on a guy who used to be with the NTSB, and he was explaining that there are some parts of the Potomac that are much deeper than the 8 feet where this plane and helicopter, the debris, landed. He said you would think, as you just mentioned, that it would be easier to recover bodies and recover parts of the plane and helicopter in 8 feet of water. It's worse. It's harder because the water of the river runs much faster and swifter when it's that shallow as opposed to when it's 30 feet deep or 25 feet deep. So the debris field is going to be much more spread out as pieces of the debris and, dare I say, not to be morbid, some of the bodies get pushed further upstream than they otherwise would have if it was 30 feet of water.
Well, and it's similar to the Missouri River and every river, quite frankly, that's of size, where there is a deep channel that kind of zigzags across what from the sky appears to be the river. And on either side of that zigzag, you have shallow parts. This plane happened to land in one of the shallow parts, but there is still, as you mentioned, rushing water in that area.
And think about it this way. I'm sorry to interrupt you, Dana. Think about it this way. Waves only occur as the water gets more and more shallow.
Right.
So it's the same kind of thing with a river. If you're at the ocean gets more and more energy the closer it gets to the bottom of the ocean.
You know, I always remind everybody, you pray for the families, and we mourn for the families and everyone involved, but do not forget those first responders and the dive team crews who have to go in there. These are children. Yeah. They are recovering children.
You're right.
The vice president and manager of Reagan National, according to the New York Times in the last hour, says the airport's two smaller runways are now closed because airplanes taking off and landing on those specific runways would have had to have flown directly over the recovery operation. And they, for all of the obvious reasons, would not want that for the pilots, for the crew members, right, for the passengers coming in to land.
913-586-7798, 586-7798, Jacob in Platte City. Hello.
Hey, Scott.
Hi.
So before I go into what I called about, I do highly recommend next time you're browsing on YouTube, look up Juan Brown in the Blanco Lirio channel. He's the American Airlines pilot who covers a lot of this stuff, and it's very unbiased, and he goes very well in depth on a lot of this, and he's got two videos out right now that cover most of what happened, and it'd be very beneficial to watch. I feel you guys would learn a lot from it. But right there off the end of 3-3, off to the east, is Joint Base Anacostia Bowling. And right there in downtown D.C., along most of the rivers, you have helicopter routes. There's six of them. And four of them converge right between DCA and Joint Base Anacostia. And it is 200 feet right through there for helicopters. But that is a high traffic area for helicopters. And it was initially thought that the helicopter had came from Bowling, and when it came out of the north transiting off of Route 1 onto Route 4.
Jacob, thank you for the call. I want to get this in before the break because I'm sure you saw this in some of the reporting. The New York Times is there and is doing an outstanding job in real time with real facts as we know them. Airline pilots have warned of the potential dangers of the helicopters prior to this happening. I already told you about the near miss yesterday. Mm-hmm. A database of aviation safety issues maintained by NASA details two more startling incidents in recent years that involved passenger jets nearly colliding with helicopters at this airport. The database contains confidential, anonymized safety reports filed by pilots, air traffic controllers, and others in aviation. One was in April 2024. An airline captain reported nearly crashing into a helicopter while approaching Reagan National. Just as the jet was coming in for landing, the plane's anti-collision technology alerted the pilots that there was a helicopter 300 feet below the airplane and climbing. Pilots wrenched the plane away from a potential collision before landing safely. The captain reported the pilots on the jet never received a warning from air traffic controllers, and the pilots, quote, could not see it, so had been, quote, unaware it was there. Another incident occurred in October of 2022. An airline captain reported almost colliding with a helicopter lifting off from a nearby hospital. Again, the jet's anti-collision technology alerted pilots to the disaster, sounded the alarm. They were immediately able to move to a higher altitude. The captain in that case estimated the plane came within 300 feet or less of the helicopter. So we have the issue 2 days ago. We have the issue 3 days ago, and we have at least two verified reports since 2024. Mm-hmm. And the reason I bring all this up, Scott, is people want to know who knew what, when did they know it? That's always
sure.
After a disaster.
Of course.
Like, who knew what and when? These reports are out there. I ask again, and the FAA was not too keen on taking a lot of questions about this today. Is it the FAA? Is it the military? If the pilots were reporting this was an issue, and we know it was an issue, was this not bound to happen? And who should have known that?
Well, keep in mind, one of the things you reported was that the helicopter was 300 feet in altitude. This story here from CNN says, in that route, helicopters are expected to stay below 200 feet. All right? This helicopter clearly was not at 200 feet.
And a 200-foot altitude window is, I mean, that is pretty standard.
Yeah. We should also point out that there was only one air traffic controller at Reagan overseeing both helicopters and airplanes, according to an air traffic control source speaking to CNN. That job is usually handled by at least two people. They were understaffed. They had one person controlling both helicopters and airplanes at one of the busiest air traffic areas in America.
And did you read they had two people staffed and a supervisor cut one of the staff members loose, said you can go home, one person can handle this. That is also clearly something that's going to have to be looked at. Would it have mattered if there were two people there instead of one?
It might have.
When you look at the aerial of the impact, Scott, from the vantage point of the runway. So picture yourself at the very end of the runway. Yeah. The plane is coming straight at you to land. When you look at that, that helicopter slammed directly into the plane's right side. At night, and I said this to my person last night, you have to pray to God they did not see it coming and the explosion. I literally prayed last night that they did not even understand what was happening.
But you have to ask the most obvious question. What is a helicopter even doing
100%.
Crossing the path of a runway?
100%. And by the way, I'm glad you said it that way. If my mind's eye visual did not do anyone any good out there, the helicopter flies directly into the path.
Of the runway.
Of the runway where the plane is landing.
Correct. More than 250 feet outside of its ceiling, because you are not allowed to break ceiling.
But well, they did. Let me ask you this, Sam. If that chopper had been at 200 feet, I think most commercial airline passengers, and hell, even pilots for that point, would not be comfortable with where that helicopter is.
Most pilots prefer to have a clear path
yes.
on their approach.
Most or
this,
all?
This looks like Frogger. It is what it looks like.
They have got to fix this.
Well,
American Airlines has come out and decided to retire flight number 5342.
Of course.
Well,
duh. Of course they did. But I mean, there has to be a policy. Hey, Army helicopter guys, you're welcome to take off from Joint Base, whatever it is. Stay to the east. Don't even come over here.
But where was that directive in 2022, in 2024, 3 days ago? Like, you start having to ask yourself, okay, like, the definition of insanity, Scott, is doing the same thing again and again and expecting a different result, right? Was this not always going to be the result with what we know now about the handful of reports we're seeing that this almost happened that many times?
But see, I told you this the other day off the air. I don't like that definition of insanity. Insanity is not doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. Insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, knowing the result. How did you not know that this was going to happen? And that's a collective view. That's not, I'm not directing that at any one particular person. How did anyone not in the higher reaches of the FAA and the U.S. military, the Army, not suspect, hey, if we keep flying our helicopters literally right in the path of a runway, one of these days we're going to eat it?
Let me reframe that question. Why did they not just listen to the pilots? Who do you trust more than anybody when it comes to safety issues coming into an airport like Reagan or any other airport? It's the pilots that are going to tell you, like, this is an issue, yeah. And they were sounding that alarm.
Telephone number is 913-586-7798, 586-7798, here on Dana and Parks. He argues they ran out of people to name schools after, but he'll join us after the top of the hour.
We disagree.
One of the most recognizable names in Kansas City, former city council member, Alvin Brooks, will be joining us here on the Dana and Parks program as we wrap up our conversations regarding what happened in D.C. Two nights ago. And somebody, with respect, somebody in the text line is saying, quit piling on. You don't know what you're talking about. To which I, you're not a pilot. You don't know what you're talking about. To which I said, are you a pilot? He's obviously not. And I said, stop piling on. 67 people are dead that should be living today. Many of them.
On a plane that, by the way, outbound out of Wichita Kansas. Kansas.
That's right. Many of them, by the way, teenagers. The youngest was 12. 12 years old. 41 bodies have been recovered as of this afternoon. The plane's black box has been recovered. They have not yet recovered the black box of the helicopter.
Update, I believe the two from the plane have been recovered, and they're still, is that correct? They're still searching for the Blackhawk. Okay.
Yeah, that's right.
Quick story that we're not looking to make a topic, but I don't know, we might bring this back because I rail about this all the time with respect to banks. The FBI locally is investigating after a suspect in Kansas City, Kansas, walked in full, what looks like full ski gear, Scott. I actually said, was he going skiing? And robbed the bank.
At Snow Creek?
At 10959 Parallel Parkway. What is different about this particular bank robbery is there was an unsubstantiated threat against an elementary school that's right there. Hmm. Just prior to the bank robbery. So threat comes into an elementary school. Police officers, the district, go into lockdown. They respond as they would and find nothing at the school to suggest there's any threat at all. They are investigating the possibility that the threat called into the school was a diversion so that the bank robber could go hit the bank on Parallel Parkway. And we don't have a lot more information on that now, which is why we're not going to spend a ton of time on it. I'll put the story out there. The photograph, it is a clear photograph of a person that you cannot see at all.
No, he's wearing clearly a ski mask and
purple surgical gloves
and large goggles covering his eyes. You cannot make out his race. You cannot make out any feature of his face. I've always argued, you know, at my bank, they have, you open the front door.
You walk in wearing that, I'm hitting the panic button.
And that's what I'm saying. I mean, they almost need to make banks kind of like the way they make schools nowadays, where you walk in one door. At my bank, for example, you walk in one door, you're in a little, probably 6x5
vestibule.
And then you have to open a second door to get into the bank. Why don't they make it like schools where you have to stand in that little vestibule and be buzzed in while your photograph is being taken of your exposed face?
Yeah.
Because if that guy walks into the vestibule, yeah, I'm not buzzing him in.
I said, what are you on, ski patrol, sir?
Well, and why is that not a high alert already? There are gas stations in this town that if you walk in with sunglasses and a hoodie on, every single person behind that counter is going to start screaming at you immediately to take that hoodie off.
There's a gas station not far from my house that that has a sign on the front door that says no backpacks allowed.
Good.
No backpacks allowed. This is not a high crime area that I live in.
Put a sign on all the banks that say if you try to walk in looking like you're fresh off the slopes, right, we're going to hit the panic button.
When do ne'er-do-wells do well?
Ne'er.
Alvin Brooks joins us on the other side of the news with Dan Weinbaum, Dana Wright, Sam Stevie III. My name is Scott Parks here on KMBZ.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.